Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is the epistle, or the second lesson appointed for today. Reading now some selected verses from Galatians. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. So far, the reading of our text. Please be seated. I got to thinking the other day about all the ways we can collect some sort of points and then cash them in order to earn a benefit for ourselves. There's air miles and Aeroplan, and then, of course, there's the HBC reward card, there's Shoppers Drug Mart, and all the service station plans like Esso and Shell and Petro-Canada. You can hardly turn around sometimes at a till without being asked if you collect points. If you say no, then they say, would you like to sign up so you can? Like many others, and probably many of you here, I've used such points to book a flight or rent a car. Of course, there is a slight catch. You still have to pay the taxes. Your points don't quite cover everything, ever. The reading today from Galatians teaches a very simple lesson. We can't collect points to earn favors from God. Stated differently, we're not saved by keeping the law of God, but by faith alone. The law serves its first purpose by pointing out how miserably we fail to keep it and just how badly we are in need of being saved. This is accomplished through faith. Now, there can be some discussion in this text about whether the phrase should be translated by the faith of Jesus, which is the subjective genitive. That's how the King James Version translates it, or if it should be translated by faith in Jesus Christ, the objective genitive, as it's used in the NIV and ESV, and I've probably lost half of you anyway. One could get tied up and quite distracted with this piece of textual information, and such a discussion is better saved for Bible class. This morning, in any case, either translation carries the truth, which is repeatedly made clear in other writings of Paul. Justification is all about Jesus and not about our works or our attempts to keep God's law. That might sound somewhat simple, even easy, but in our daily lives and within the society in which we live, the temptation is ever present and persuasive to somehow come to think that in some way, our works either help to get us into heaven or they keep us out of it. Pray that we don't fall for such a temptation. Rather, freed from sin's guilt and punishment by Jesus through faith, may we strive out of thanksgiving and love to do what we know is pleasing to God, as he has told us in his word. It's not so easy a challenge as it may sound. If you're quite familiar with Paul's words in Romans 7, he confesses there that the good he should do, he doesn't, while the evil he should do, he does not. I think I got those right, but you know from reading that passage, it gets so twisted. Our world often encourages the attitude that you get what you deserve, an observation that can work either way. If you're miserable to others, you deserve others being miserable to you. So goes popular thinking. If you tend to be caring and gentle, the world says it's only fair that you should be treated in the same way. If you work hard, then you rightly deserve to see some sort of reward. We tend, if we're honest, to resent that person who gets a promotion or wealth handed to them on a silver platter, while we praise the person who works hard against all odds to get ahead and achieve success. That's the way the world looks at things. So how and where does faith and justification fit into this picture? Actually, Scripture, including today's text, is very clear. Salvation doesn't fit in with any reward plan or philosophy on earth. Justification before God comes via faith. And if we checked out a passage fairly familiar to this congregation, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we'd remember that even faith itself is a gift and not a work of our own doing. The problem is that our human nature, coaxed by the wisdom of this world, is so easily led to begin to think otherwise. If the world around us teaches that you get what you deserve or what you've earned, then pretty soon it's easy to begin thinking that surely all of my service, you know, whether it's at church, all of my work or my efforts, all of my volunteering in the community, surely it must count for something. Surely God must notice that, unlike so many other people I can think of rather quickly, I help out repeatedly. I volunteer when nobody else puts up their hand. I say yes when everybody else is looking down at their shoes, whether that's to help with Sunday school, clean the church, canvass the neighborhood, serve coffee, usher, whatever it might be. Our nature resents others getting service or attention or being cared for when they haven't put in their time, and that's just the honest truth. When they haven't offered their blood, sweat, and tears, when they haven't done their part, contributed their share, but seem to readily sit back and enjoy all of the benefits. We can at times become even bitter or resentful towards such people. And a simple proof of that truth is the fact that even with the suggestion that we might harbor such resentment, our mind quickly sort of thinks, yes, but it really isn't fair that so few do nothing, so many do nothing, so few do much, and the rest just coast along. Should we find such thoughts creeping into our minds, then we need to really take another look at the cross and ask ourselves honestly, as we would stand all by ourselves before God, what's fair? Yes, God notices. He notices hearts that so readily are inclined to judge their neighbor, hearts that think in some way their service is more faithful and therefore more deserving of recognition, hearts that insist that their way of doing things is the best way, even maybe the only way, hearts that routinely choose to ignore what God's word has said about worshiping him above all things and loving their neighbor as he has unconditionally loved them first. This morning, we will, in the prayers, acknowledge the work of those who offer their talents in music service to God's church. Especially, we'll be remembering Martha's many years of service. We do so with thanks that they have used their gifts and continue to do so to God's glory and our blessing. But I can promise you, and Martha will be relieved, at the end of this service, I won't be giving any of them, Martha included, a get-out-of-hell-free card because they happen to know where middle C is, or the difference between bass or treble clef. They can squeeze a bagpipe, strum a guitar, sing outside the cracks and actually on the notes, or master multiple keyboards. No, we will be thanking God for their loving service and asking him to help us serve in whatever way we can, no matter how old or young we might be. Indeed, our regular, even faithful service, our attention to detail, our devotion to traditions, new or old, our works of charity in the community or the church, even our attempts to witness and share God's love with others, none of that adds up to points before God. And should we dare to foolishly think that we've actually been, you know, pretty good compared to some folk that we know at keeping the commandments, then it's time to dust off the Bible again and read Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount about being perfect like our Father in heaven, about murder and adultery, and even worry, which is nothing less than a lack of trust in God. We need to read in James, whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. No, we're not perfect, not even close, so our works could never save us. Justification is God's doing. It's his choice, and it's free, which happens to be a dominant theme in the epistle to the Galatians. It's not tied to our following a set of rules. It's not based on our hours or years of service like some pension plan. It's all because of his grace. As Paul said, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Sadly, there's kind of a flip side to this, too. We struggle in a different way with the challenge of works and faith before God. Not bragging about what we've done and how God must surely notice, rather sometimes, and for some people, and maybe you've been there yourself, we might drown in our guilt, and realizing how big our debt is, how great our failure to have done what God has asked. Sometimes we so easily buy into this world's old math of getting what you pay for, what you've earned, that in our guilt we see the good we believe others have done, and we conclude we just can't measure up. And then we remember all of our sins, the things that other people don't even know, and we think we are certainly a lost cause. Our sins far outweigh our record of service, our quick judgment of others, our difficulty in forgiving those who have hurt us, and the fact that we have indeed hurt others and sometimes deliberately. Our embarrassment at sharing our faith and owning the name of Jesus, they all can leave us feeling falling short of the necessary points we mistakenly think we need. We can feel so unworthy. So unworthy that we may even avoid the feast of Jesus' table. The truth is, and always will be, we are unworthy. But surprise, and it's a good one, surprise, the good news is that God has done it all for us in the faithful obedience of Jesus. In that faith of Jesus, the one who fully trusted and had faith in the Father, even to the point of his suffering and death. And boy, if there were ever a death that cried out against the unfairness that we as humans like to think we champion, it was the death of Jesus. There was nothing fair at Calvary, but everything gracious. When Jesus became the loser that we are, so that we might be the winner that he always is. Where does that leave us? Well, for musicians, for gardeners, for ushers, or board members, for community volunteers, for seniors and students, for faithful and conscientious employees, and even for pew warmers, there is no redeemable reward that we can cash in for a glimpse of heaven, only to have to pay the taxes afterwards and then build up our points all over again and again and again. But we don't need one. We have the award of gracious forgiveness in Jesus through faith. And when we realize that being forgiven, we are released from using God's law as a ladder of merit points, our hearts can begin to overflow with thanksgiving and love, much like the tears of Mary who washed Jesus' feet, not to earn his favor, but to show her love. We are freed in thanksgiving to serve, to offer our time, and abilities daily in service to others, to bring glory to God as we honor his word and we seek to do that which we know pleases him. Motivated no longer out of fear or obligation, rather out of love. We don't need points. We have Jesus, our Redeemer, and in him we live. Amen.